All right, jumping right in. We're taking a deep dive with Dr. Yarbrough into 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Ah, 1 Timothy.
Yeah, think of this as like your guide to this ancient text,
right?
Uncovering some surprising relevance for today.
I like it.
So we'll be focusing on Dr. Yarbrough's expert interpretation, unearthing that historical context and the deeper meaning, you know?
Okay.
So right off the bat, in chapter 1, Dr. Yarbrough, he points to the importance of relationships.
Okay.
And it's fascinating how Paul, you know, he approaches Timothy not with like a list of commands, but almost like this fatherly guidance, which is Dr. Yarbrough highlights.
It's really key to understanding the context there.
Yeah.
Because Paul, he calls Timothy my true son in the faith.
Yeah.
Which reveals, you know, a deeply personal connection.
Right.
And this really sheds light on how early Christian communities, you know, functioned with that mentorship and that personal connection at the core.
It's interesting to consider how that personal element might be missing in some approaches to faith today.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes me think of that story you shared about your friend who only really connected with God at age 19.
Right.
Despite growing up, you know, in a religious environment.
You know, that anecdote really highlights how we can sometimes miss this crucial aspect of faith. You know, it's not just about knowing the rules or the doctrines.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating that genuine relationship with God.
And speaking of knowing God, you know,
yes,
Dr. Yarbrough points out how Paul establishes his authority as an apostle, stating it comes directly from God and Christ.
Well, and what's really intriguing is how Dr. Yarbrough interprets this as a leadership lesson for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
He suggests that Paul is demonstrating that true authority isn't about wielding power, but about aligning oneself with God's will.
That makes you think about the ways we perceive and exercise authority in our own lives.
Right.
It's a powerful model to consider.
And it's especially significant when you consider the context.
Yeah.
Remember, Timothy was a first generation Messianic Jew.
Right.
So he was likely navigating opposition from both Jewish and pagan communities.
Yeah.
Dr. Yarbrough suggests that the repeated use of Christ Jesus in these opening verses would have been a crucial source of strength and validation for Timothy.
Paul is offering Timothy this like bedrock of hope amidst all the challenges he was facing.
And Dr. Yarbrough really emphasizes that hope is not just wishful thinking.
Right.
It's a deep trust in Christ's presence and faithfulness.
Okay.
It's the kind of hope that allows us to persevere even when we're surrounded by doubt and opposition.
That resonates with me, especially when you consider the challenges that people face in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to feel overwhelmed.
Right.
But that sense of enduring hope can make all the difference.
Absolutely.
Speaking of things that can make a difference, Dr. Yarbrough delves into the significance of the three gifts that Paul wishes for Timothy.
Yes.
Grace, mercy, and peace.
He explains that these are not just pleasantries.
Right.
But profound concepts rooted in the Old Testament, representing God's unwavering love, forgiveness, and blessing.
It's a powerful reminder that we're not facing these challenges alone.
Right.
These gifts are available to all of us.
And Dr. Yarbrough encourages us to consider how these concepts can shape our own lives.
Yeah.
Like, how have you experienced grace, mercy, or peace?
Mm.
And how might understanding these concepts differently impact your approach to life's challenges?
Those are some great questions to reflect on.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned earlier, you know, Timothy's mission wasn't all sunshine and roses.
Right.
He was facing some serious doctrinal issues.
He was.
In the Ephesian church.
Yeah. And Dr. Yarbrough, he doesn't shy away from this.
Right.
He highlights the dangers of what he calls false doctrines.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically pointing to the myths and endless genealogies that were likely prevalent in Ephesus.
It seems like these false teachings were more about speculation and argument than they were about actually advancing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Yarbrough makes a point of saying that true ministry operates by faith.
It's a fascinating parallel to the challenges we face today with misinformation and competing narratives.
Right.
It really prompts us to consider how we discern truth from falsehood in our own lives,
mm-hmm.
what are the false doctrines or misleading information that we encounter today? And how can we develop that critical discernment necessary to navigate a world saturated with information?
It's a crucial skill to cultivate.
It is.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of discerning truth, Dr. Yarbrough's discussion of the law is particularly insightful.
He tackles the complex issue of how the law relates to grace, offering a really nuanced perspective. He explains that while the law has its place, you know, civil, convicting of sin and guiding believers, it cannot save us. Yeah. Christ is the sole means of grace.
That must have been a radical concept for the early Christian.
Well, yeah.
Many of whom were Jewish.
Right.
And deeply steeped in the law.
Absolutely. And Dr. Yarbrough, he highlights that this understanding represented a major paradigm shift.
Okay.
Moving from a focus on earning salvation through works.
Right.
To embracing salvation by grace.
It makes you wonder how we grapple with this concept in our own societies today.
Mm-hmm.
Are there ways in which we confuse obedience to rules with true righteousness?
Yeah.
Perhaps even missing the point of grace altogether.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
It seems we often struggle to balance that tension between law and grace even today.
And speaking of tension.
Okay.
The story of Paul's conversion in this chapter is absolutely incredible.
It is.
And Dr. Yarbrough really captures the drama of it all.
Yeah. It's a stark example of transformation.
Yeah.
Here's Paul, a blasphemer, persecutor, and violent man.
Right.
Suddenly encountering Christ and undergoing a complete change of heart.
Wow.
It's a powerful reminder of the radical power of God's grace.
And the way Paul describes himself as the worst of sinners is so striking.
Yeah.
It's like he's acknowledging the depth of his past actions.
Right.
While simultaneously highlighting the boundless nature of God's forgiveness.
It's a powerful testimony to the idea that no one is beyond the reach of God's grace.
Yeah.
And it gives such weight to Paul's words and his authority in guiding Timothy.
It's a perfect example of how personal experience can inform and strengthen one's message.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of powerful messages, the doxology in verse 17 is breathtaking.
It is.
Dr. Yarbrough really unpacks the significance of it.
He points out that this declaration of praise, you know, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Flows directly from Paul's own profound experience of grace.
Yeah.
It's a raw expression of awe and gratitude.
Right.
For God's transformative power.
It's like he's saying, look, I've seen the darkness.
Right.
And I've experienced the light.
Mm-hmm.
God is real and he deserves all the glory.
Precisely. And Dr. Yarbrough, he highlights how this doxology challenges our conventional notions of power and success.
Yeah.
You know, God often works through the most unexpected people and situations.
Yeah.
Bringing beauty and redemption out of seemingly hopeless circumstances.
It's a reminder to look for God's hand in unexpected places.
Mm-hmm.
To be open to the possibility that transformation can happen anywhere. Anytime.
Yeah.
Which brings us to that renewed charge Paul gives Timothy, verses 18-20.
Yeah.
It's not just a pep talk.
Right.
It's a call to persevere,
mm-hmm.
a recognition that ministry is going to be tough.
And Dr. Yarbrough doesn't sugarcoat things.
Right.
He points to the example of Hymenaeus and Alexander who abandoned the faith. Yeah.
As a sobering reminder that even within the church, there will be opposition and betrayal.
It raises some tough questions about how to navigate those situations.
It does.
You know, how do you balance grace and accountability when faced with people who reject the faith?
That's where Dr. Yarbrough's insight into Paul's response is particularly thought-provoking.
Okay.
He suggests that handing over Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan might mean that Paul ceased praying for them.
Oh.
Recognizing that sometimes tough love is necessary for the sake of the community and even for the individuals involved.
It's a complex issue.
It is.
And it's not easy to reconcile with our modern sensibilities.
It challenges us to consider the limits of grace and the role of accountability in the Christian community.
Right.
It also invites us to think about how we deal with conflict and disagreement within our own circles.
Those are some heavy topics.
They are.
But I think that's what makes Dr. Yarbrough's approach so valuable. He's not afraid to delve into the complexities of the text, even when they challenge our assumptions.
And I think that's what makes this deep dive so relevant.
Yeah.
It's not just about understanding what Paul wrote to Timothy.
Right. Yeah.
It's about grappling with those same questions and challenges in our own lives today.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point to move on to part two.
Okay.
So we'll see you there.
Sounds good.
So picking up where we left off.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how Dr. Yarbrough connects this idea of tough love
okay.
to the broader theme of spiritual warfare.
Right.
He reminds us that Satan is ultimately under God's authority,
mm-hmm.
acting as a kind of sifting agent to refine and purify the faith of believers.
It's a challenging concept,
yeah,
but it does shed light on how even difficult experiences,
right,
like facing opposition or betrayal,
yeah,
can ultimately serve a purpose in our spiritual growth.
It makes you wonder if those experiences are what solidify our faith.
It could be, you know, making us more resilient and grounded in our beliefs.
It certainly seems that those who endure trials
yeah.
often emerge with a deeper understanding of their faith
mm-hmm.
and a stronger commitment to their calling.
Which reminds me of the discussion about calling earlier.
Right.
Dr. Yarbrough points out that Timothy wasn't just randomly placed mm-hmm. in this position of leadership.
Right.
There were prophecies about him.
Yeah.
A sense that God had specifically chosen him for this role.
It really highlights the significance of recognizing our own unique callings.
Yeah.
The specific ways in which God has gifted and equipped us to serve.
That's a powerful thought.
It is.
It makes me think about the times in my own life when I've felt that sense of purpose,
yeah.
of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Even when things were difficult.
It's in those moments when we align ourselves with our calling
mm.
that we often find the greatest sense of fulfillment
right.
and make the most meaningful contributions.
It's like all the pieces fall into place. Even if the puzzle itself is incredibly challenging.
Exactly. And this leads us to a particularly relevant point
okay.
that Dr. Yarbrough makes about the distractions
mm-hmm.
that can hinder us from fulfilling our calling.
Right.
He cautions against getting caught up in what he calls meaningless talk.
Okay.
And controversial speculations, things that can pull us away from the core truths of the gospel.
I can see how that's incredibly relevant today.
Yeah.
With the constant barrage of information and opinions.
It's a lot.
We're bombarded with.
It is.
It's easy to get sidetracked.
Yeah.
And lose focus on what truly matters.
Dr. Yarbrough's words serve as a powerful reminder
Try.
To be discerning about the information we consume
mm-hmm.
and the conversations we engage in.
Yeah.
It's about prioritizing those things that nourish our faith
right.
and contribute to our spiritual growth
yeah.
while filtering out the noise and distractions
right.
that can lead us astray.
It's like being intentional about what we're feeding our minds and our spirits. We need to choose those sources of nourishment
mm-hmm.
that will sustain us on our journey
yeah.
rather than those that deplete us mm-hmm. or lead us down yeah. unproductive paths.
It's a crucial aspect of spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Especially in a world that's constantly vying for our attention
right.
and pulling us in a multitude of directions.
As we wrap up our deep dive into 1 Timothy 1 with Dr. Yarbrough,
okay.
what key takeaways resonate most with you?
Well, what stands out to me is the emphasis on personal relationship with God,
okay.
the vital role of hope
mm-hmm.
in navigating challenges,
yeah.
and the importance of discerning truth from falsehood
right.
in a world overflowing with information.
A lot.
And of course, the reminder that grace doesn't negate the need for accountability
mm-hmm.
and that even difficult experiences can mm-hmm. contribute to our spiritual growth.
Those are all incredibly valuable insights.
They are.
Dr. Yarbrough has presented such a nuanced and insightful interpretation of this chapter, offering a framework for understanding not only the historical context,
right.
but also the timeless relevance of these teachings.
It's clear that 1 Timothy, even just this first chapter,
yeah.
provides a wealth of wisdom for navigating the complexities of faith mm-hmm. in any era.
Right.
It offers guidance for leadership,
okay.
for discerning truth,
yeah.
for persevering through trials,
mm-hmm.
and for embracing the transformative power of grace.
And ultimately, it points us back to the core of the Christian faith.
Yes.
The personal relationship with God.
That's it.
That underpins and sustains us through all of life's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So as you go about your week, consider this. How could you cultivate that personal connection with God more intentionally?
Yeah.
Where do you need to lean into hope
right.
and rely on grace?
Mm.
And how can you become a more discerning consumer of information?
Yes.
Prioritizing those sources that nourish your faith
mm.
and help you navigate the complexities of our world.
Great questions.
Yeah. These are questions worth pondering as you navigate your own journey of faith.
I agree.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Wow, it's been a fascinating journey exploring 1 Timothy 1 with Dr. Yarbrough.
It has.
He's presented so much to consider.
Yeah.
That tension between grace and the law.
Mm-hmm.
Leading with authority rooted in humility.
Right.
The reality of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And the importance of discerning truth.
And what's really struck me is how Dr. Yarbrough weaves together the historical context with the timeless relevance of these teachings.
Right.
It's not just an academic exercise. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding how these principles can shape our lives today.
Absolutely. He's given us a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
But I think it all boils down to this.
Yeah.
How do we live out these principles in a world that often feels at odds with them?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Yarbrough offers some clues.
Yeah.
He emphasizes the importance of cultivating a deep personal relationship with God, a relationship that sustains us through challenges and empowers us to live authentically.
It's like that foundation that everything else is built upon.
Yeah.
Without that solid grounding, you know, it's easy to get swept away by the currents of the world, by the distractions and the doubts.
And he reminds us that hope is not just wishful thinking.
Right.
It's a powerful force
that
enables us to persevere even when things are tough. That kind of hope is rooted in the conviction that God is at work, even in the midst of chaos and suffering.
It's the kind of hope that allows us to see beyond the immediate circumstances and hold on to the belief that things can and will get better.
Absolutely.
And then there's the challenge of discerning truth.
Yeah.
Dr. Yarbrough highlights the importance of critical thinking.
Yeah.
Of not just accepting everything we hear or read at face value.
Right.
It's about developing the skills to filter out the noise
and
identify those sources that align with our values and our faith.
Especially in our current information landscape.
Right.
That's a vital skill.
It is.
It's easy to get caught up in echo chambers and filter bubbles.
Yeah.
Surrounding ourselves only with information that confirms our existing beliefs.
Right. But that doesn't really challenge us to grow.
It does.
Or to grapple with different perspectives.
Exactly. And Dr. Yarbrough, he encourages us to engage with different viewpoints.
Okay.
To be open to the possibility that we might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And to be willing to change our minds when presented with compelling evidence.
That requires a certain level of humility and intellectual honesty.
It does.
That can be difficult to cultivate.
Yeah.
But it's essential for growth.
And I think it ties back to the idea of being rooted in our relationship with God.
Okay.
You know, when we're secure in our faith,
we're
more likely to be open to new information and different perspectives.
Right.
We're not threatened by challenges to our beliefs because we know that our faith isn't built on shaky ground.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like having that anchor that keeps us steady.
Right.
Even when the waves are crashing around us.
And finally, Dr. Yarbrough reminds us that even amidst the challenges and complexities, grace is always available.
Hmm.
It's not about earning God's favor or proving our worthiness.
Right.
It's about accepting the gift of forgiveness and allowing it to transform our hearts.
It's a powerful reminder that we're not defined by our mistakes or our shortcomings.
Why not?
We're defined by God's love for us.
That's right.
A love that's unconditional and unending.
And that love empowers us to extend grace to others, to be agents of reconciliation and healing in a world that desperately needs it.
So as we wrap up our deep dives into 1 Timothy 1, I think the question we're left with is this. How will you allow these teachings to shape your life?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you need to lean into your relationship with God more deeply?
Yeah.
How can you cultivate a more resilient hope?
Good question.
And how will you extend grace to yourself and to others?
That's it.
These are questions worth pondering as you navigate your own journey of faith.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.